Blog Talk Radio.
Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine, editor and lead blogger of BigBlueView.com, and we come to you on Tuesday, December 5th, the first day after what will always be known in Giants history as the Monday Massacre. What I referred to on Big Blue View as the Mac Daddy of house cleanings by the Giants organization, the firings of head coach Ben McAdoo and general manager Jerry Reese. Two things that we knew had to happen, but that we weren't sure were going to happen during the season. And finally did happen yesterday. I do apologize for not getting to you guys yesterday. I've been writing like crazy for the last couple of days. I did a Facebook Live session. I did a podcast that I do with Pat Traina of Inside Football. That's called Big Blue Chat over on Podbean. I did a couple of radio appearances this morning on Fox Sports Radio with Steve Borstein and on SB Nation Radio. You can look for those online. But in the whirlwind of activity that's been going on, have not had a chance to sit down and do a show here. So let's get right to it. What does all of this mean for the Giants? What does the future hold? Was I surprised? I wasn't surprised at all by the ouster of McAdoo at this point. That had to happen. Was surprised at the ouster of GM Jerry Reese in the middle of the season, just because, you know, you generally don't fire your general manager mid-season. Because the GM's impact comes mostly in the off season, you know, with the draft, with free agency, with those things. So I was a little bit surprised by the timing of the Reese ouster, but seemed like the Giants just wanted to make a clean break, wanted to do this once, wanted to get it over with, you know, said that they needed wholesale changes and there wasn't any reason to wait any longer. And I happen to agree. To be honest with you, the Giants for years now have been sort of taking steps, or what I've referred to as half measures, in an effort to fix a situation that's been spiraling downhill for most of the last six seasons. In my view, the ouster of Jerry Reese, the architect of rosters that haven't been good enough to make the playoffs now, 5 out of 6 years, comes 2 years too late. I thought that the opportunity was there for a clean break. You know, when the Giants chose to move on from Tom Coughlin after the 2015 season, I honestly thought the proper thing to do at that point would have been to also remove Jerry Reese, to bring in a new general manager, let him hire a coach, and to start fresh at that point. The Giants chose not to do that. They chose to go in the direction of leaving Jerry in place. Obviously, with the events of this year, that didn't work out. And the Giants will move in a different direction in 2018, and we'll see where all of that goes. One thing that I did want to say is I wasn't surprised at all by the McAdoo move. I thought the Giants were backed into a corner at this point by the Eli Manning situation last week, which we addressed in our last show, the unfortunate way that that was handled, the incredible public outcry of anger, the anger from former players who threatened to either not show up at the game, you know, guys who were always around the Giants, or to show up wearing Eli Manning jerseys, fans talking about protesting outside the stadium or simply not showing up. You know, those who were going to show up were likely to be angry, to voice their displeasure, to make it a really ugly scene at MetLife Stadium, not only this Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, but for the remainder of the season, with the Giants having three home games left out of the final 4 weeks. So ownership was really backed into a corner where if they were going to make a move, it almost became necessary for them to make it now. I don't want to say simply to throw the fans a bone, but to at least show the fan base that they recognize the depths of the issues that the franchise faces, that they recognize that the team has lost its way, that they recognize that the organization needed to start over. I mean, neither of these moves will fix this season. This season was lost long ago. At 2-10, Giants could be headed for the worst 16-game season in franchise history. That worst season, I believe, was 1983, first year of Bill Parcells, a tenure as head coach. Giants went 3-12-1. Giants will need two victories, or at least a victory and a tie, in their final four games to tie or exceed that season. So it has been an embarrassing year, and this really is a step in the right direction. It's the beginning of the process, but it's not nearly the end of the process. It doesn't mean anything has been fixed. It just means that the Giants have recognized that they have a problem and will start over. One of the contributors at Big Blue View, Barry Shuck, is a football historian. And Barry recently, you know, wrote a piece looking back at the era of the late 60s through the 70s, maybe even into the early 80s. That era of Giants football, it's commonly referred to as the wilderness years, you know, when the Giants were simply awful, you know, for an extended period of time, you know, roughly 15 or so years. After missing the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, the Giants are on the verge of Wilderness Years Part 2. And the deal at this point is we don't know who the coach is going to be. We don't know who the general manager is going to be. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be long term. We know that the Giants have to find an heir to Eli. We don't know who that's going to be, but the Giants have to get these things right, or we're headed for another extended period of awful football from the New York Giants. That said, let's take a couple of minutes to talk about candidates for the jobs of coach and GM. Awful lot of folks in my Twitter feed, on Facebook, in the comments of Big Blue View want to focus on who the next coach is going to be. And, you know, there's folks out there, you know, beating the drum for Nick Saban, beating the drum for John Gruden, Bill Cowher, all of the big mythical names. Let me, in my mind and in my view, put that to bed right now. You know, Nick Saban, the Giants have been down that road Nick Saban doesn't want to leave Alabama. His family doesn't want to leave Alabama. Nick Saban would want, even if he were to leave Alabama, he would want an incredible amount of money. He would want complete control of the franchise. So he'd probably want the general manager title as well as the head coach title. I simply can't see the Giants giving him that. I can't see Saban leaving Alabama. John Gruden, I've said in other forums, John Gruden is a guy who I don't think has any intention of ever coaching in the NFL again. John Gruden has a tremendous gig at ESPN where he's a superstar. But John Gruden also has an ego. John Gruden is a guy who I think he loves the attention. I think he loves the speculation. He loves to hear his name mentioned every time an opportunity comes up. He loves to be connected to jobs. He loves to tease the idea that, oh, if he had this quarterback or, oh, if he had that quarterback, he'd be tempted to come back and coach again. And he'd love to try to win with this guy or that guy. I think that Gruden does just enough all of the time to hint that, oh, maybe I'll coach again someday. But I think he does just enough to keep his name in the headlines because he likes that. As for Bill Cowher, it's now been more than a decade. It will probably never happen, but at some point people need to give up on the idea that Bill Cowher will return to the NFL as a head coach. I don't think I'll ever convince people to give up on that idea. Come on, folks. It's been 11 years now. This 2006 was when he stepped down from the Pittsburgh Steelers. If he wanted to coach, if he had any real desire to do that, he would have done it a long time ago. So let's give up on that. But also, when we talk about coach, let's realize that the Giants, as John Mara said the other day, would prefer to have a general manager to handle personnel and a separate coach to handle the roster and deal with the team on the field. So before we speculate on who the head coach is going to be, let's focus on the general manager. I think the Giants have to find a GM first, allow that GM to do his own coaching search, find a guy that he feels comfortable with, that he shares a philosophy with, that he shares a vision with, guys who can work together to rebuild a Giants franchise that really has lost its way, that hasn't drafted well enough in recent years, that has had to rely too heavily on free agents, that hasn't had enough leadership in the locker room, organization that simply needs to take a full look at how it does business. So we don't know yet who that GM is going to be. We've put a list together at Big Blue View based on folks that have ties to Ernie Accorsi, who's going to help the Giants in this situation. A lot of guys who have been connected to GM jobs over the past couple of years who still don't have one. A couple of guys like former Giants executive and Carolina Panthers GM Dave Gettleman, who are available. A guy like Scott Pioli, who's been a GM before. We'll see where that goes. But that decision, in the way this works, that decision is going to come before we find out who the head coach is going to be. And this becomes a very, very interesting offseason for the Giants, a very interesting and important period in franchise history. And we'll be doing everything we can to cover that for you, to analyze it, to give you our opinion, to keep you informed on what's going on. Please, pay attention to what we write at BigBlueView.com. Check out our community on Facebook. Follow Big Blue View on Twitter. or myself at Valentine_Ed, and we thank you for listening. Bye-bye now, Giants fans.